This is Paul Davey, Yield Point Specialist for Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Conant in studio. We'll have an update from Tyler Donaldson and Melissa Hammer as well. Sunshine, highs in the 50s and 60s are on tap today. There's a small chance of rain tomorrow. Light rains, of course, seen yesterday. According to the North Dakota Agricultural Weather Network, rainfall totals include Crookston at 45 hundredths, 34 hundredths at Fertile, Minnesota, Grand Forks 31 hundredths, Bow Bells and Warren each having 0.2 in the rain gauge, Mayville 19 hundredths, Ada 16 hundredths. There were other areas with just hundredths of an inch of rain.
University of Minnesota Extension corn agronomist Jeff Coulter says the fall should help farmers set up for a good start next spring.
Well, you know, I think, you know, I'm optimistic about next year, even though for a lot of people this year was very challenging and in some cases disappointing. But, you know, we got a few things going for us. You know, first off, it looks like we're going to be able to get a lot or all of the field work done that we want to this fall, given the weather conditions. And, you know, that's going to set us up, hopefully, for to be in a good spot for next spring.
Coulter says there are quite a few challenges when looking at next year.
Inputs are high in terms of cost. The grain prices are relatively low, so it's difficult to, you know, stay profitable. So I think farmers are going to be facing a lot of situations where they're trying to reduce input costs and think very carefully about, you know, what they're spending their money on and what they can cut back on without reducing their short-term yield and also their long-term yields. So that's going to be something that growers are looking at pretty closely.
Late-season dry conditions have caused concerns in the region. Worthington, Minnesota farmer Bill Gordon is making some changes to try to keep ahead of possible issues.
Yeah, we're actually going to change over and do some strip tillage next year, try to isolate that nutrition for the plants in those strips. Being it's so hard and dry, probably do a little less deep tillage that we normally do in our corn stalks for the soybeans. Try to conserve some of that moisture that's still left in the ground, and then we're having troubles with the neighbors are pulling the equipment apart, breaking because the ground is so hard. But we have problems with that rut early.
Gordon thinks everyone is ready to look at 2025 as a new year.
And we were just discussing how we do some leveling from those ravines that those 3-4 inch rain events caused, and how you manage that land and get it back into condition and yet try to conserve that topsoil. So it's definitely going to be a challenge for the area. There's a lot of tillage going on, a lot of points getting burnt off in the ground because of the lack of moisture. But I think everybody's looking at it as we're going to try to get through this year, kind of forget about it, and hopefully we get some moisture here over the winter and start 2025 on a positive note.
To encourage urban and small-scale innovative farming practices, the Farm Service Agency is implementing increased flexibility for farm programs. With this plan, acreage as small as 2.5 by 2.5 inches is allowed. Crops grown in multi-level or vertical production systems were cited as an example. USDA has urban service center staff by FSA and NRCS personnel in 17 major cities.
Mexico's new president, Claudia Sheinbaum, is promoting a self-sufficiency initiative for food staples, including tortillas and dry beans. That includes a plan to increase corn and bean production domestically. The focus would be on guaranteeing prices for farmers who grow corn for tortillas. The Mexican government also wants to increase domestic dry bean production by 30% within 6 years to replace bean imports.
Milk production in the 24 major dairy states totaled 17.5 billion pounds in September, up 0.2% from a year ago. South Dakota's milk production up nearly 8% from last year. Minnesota's milk output is down 2%. In the past year, South Dakota dairies added 16,000 cows. Minnesota milk cow numbers declined by 9,000 head. In the past quarter, North Dakota averaged 9,500 head of dairy cows. Those numbers will change soon, with Riverview Dairy planning to build a 25,000 cow dairy farm near Hillsboro and a 12,500 head dairy farm north of Wahpeton. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. The cattle markets continue to see overall strength with seasonality factoring in. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Melissa Hammer has more.
While replacement heifers aren't hitting the markets hard yet, Bagley Livestock co-owner Billy Bushell says there's an unseasonal demand for replacements at this time.
At this stage of the game, the replacement heifer market isn't really kicked in. Most of the people that buy heifers, if it's a buyer who's going to buy them, raise them up, breed them, and resell them as replacement heifers, that kind of a person generally waits till probably after the first of the year when the calves are weaned, you know, and it tends to go that way. But we have seen already some demand for replacement heifers, which is not normal. So we might be just on the first baby steps of going to rebuild our herd.
Bushell says herd rebuilding is a long process.
If we do start now, it's still going to be 3 years before that meat hits the grocery counters. We're going to see an extended, one of the longest upsides of this market that we've ever, probably in history, you know, and just because of the lack of rebuilding the last couple years. And so there's really good opportunities for people with forage and extra feed, whether they want to be a cow-calf operator or backgrounding. There's pretty good opportunities for these people for the next few years when cattle are high and feed right now is really reasonable.
Reporting agriculture's business, I'm Melissa Hammer for the Red River Farm Network.
The National Cattlemen's Beef Association is upset with proposed Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee recommendations. The recommendations highlighted at its preview meeting included a move away from high-quality proteins like beef and replacing it with beans and lentils. In a statement, NCBA Vice President of Government Affairs Ethan Lane said this was one of the most out-of-touch, impractical, and elitist dietary proposals in history.
The livestock markets traded firmer yesterday after starting out in what appeared to be a consolidation-type trade. AgMarket.net market analyst Jacob Burks says the cattle market was a bit of a head-scratcher.
Yeah, and that'll happen sometimes whenever you got a trade that breaks. You know, we bumped our head up against this 10-day moving average here, 5, 6, 7 days in the live cattle trades. And then whenever you do break above it, buying interest comes in, and you hit a lot of stops, and it goes quickly.
Birch reminds us, don't forget to do your marketing.
You kind of get looking around with your head on a swivel right now. I think things to pay attention to right now, especially if you're looking into livestock trade, is we still have some overhead resistance above us that I do believe that these are great opportunities for the producer to lay some risk management under. You look at the grain trade; these are great moves, and it makes everybody feel happy. But you don't get to take advantage of them unless you have orders out there. And I think that's what I would encourage, like call the elevators, get some orders in place.
ExxonMobil has contributed $100,000 to the Out of the Ashes Wildfire Disaster Relief Fund. The fund was established by the North Dakota Stockmen's Association and the North Dakota Stockmen's Foundation to assist in the recovery effort. Approximately 100,000 acres were burned in fires earlier this month. Losses include cattle, livestock, pasture, and farmstead.
Syngenta Crop Protection and Taranis have a multi-year deal to partner on artificial intelligence-powered agronomy solutions. Syngenta Digital Solutions Marketing Manager Mead McDonald said this platform makes it possible for ag retailers to make field-level agronomic recommendations without going to the field.
This technology won't necessarily remove growers or retailers from the field, you know, completely, but it's absolutely going to revolutionize how retailers call on growers, and it's going to improve the operational efficiency for retailers and growers in a whole new way.
In addition to the agronomic information, there is a conservation platform.
The funds have been there, and there are more funds that are coming in 2025, but they're not easy to get. And so the second piece of this offer is what we call Tyrannus conservation. And this is the real, this is a, you know, as we enter into a more difficult ag market in 2025, being able to free up $40, $50, $60, $70 per acre is very exciting.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Pure Prairie poultry shutdown left hundreds of thousands of birds in limbo as ag leaders rushed to find solutions for what to do with so many chickens. While some new homes have been found, still many other issues need to be addressed. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
Trumbull County, Wisconsin Farm Bureau President Kyle Nilsestoon says that biosecurity remains an issue they have to consider throughout the process.
In this situation, just taking these birds to get these birds processed and humanely used, there's biosecurity issues between the different companies. The other problem is that these processing plants are set up for a very specific size of bird. And my understanding was that some of the locals, the birds were too large. Not that these companies didn't want to potentially help. They're just looking at protecting themselves, and truckloads go up and they can't be processed. Then we're stuck with birds on trucks. In the end, it was probably more humane that we did not attempt to push them through that.
Then what is next for producers without any poultry on their poultry farms?
Probably a little too early to tell. I know there are several other integrators or poultry companies out there that potentially could be approached. Best case scenario is that these farmers are able to dissolve the former contract with this company, Pure Poultry, and potentially sign new contracts with other poultry companies. Because, yes, like you said, these are massive investments that are just going to be sitting idle. And oftentimes these smaller farms are the ones that have these poultry barns because they're a good source of income, oftentimes seen as almost guaranteed because such large companies never really seem to fail. This is the first instance of something like this happening. So we're hopeful that we can be able to find an integrator and then maybe get birds back in these barns. But, you know, the next week is going to be cleaning these barns up, disposing of any birds that had to been euthanized, and hopefully a good night's sleep for a lot of these guys.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Ag commodities closed higher yesterday in what appeared to be a risk-on trading day. Progressive Ag Marketing market analyst Brian Strumman thinks demand is the market mover.
Yeah, it certainly is. We've seen some pressure in the grains here the last few weeks and got down to levels and had some buying come into place and made some pretty decent sales. And then, you know, you look at the wheat complex too. You know, there's been rain in the forecast for the southern plains now for the last few weeks, and that's been disappointing. There's still some more in the forecast. We'll see if that materializes. But again, the southern plains remain pretty dry.
Checking markets as we speak, we're down 6 1/4 for the December Minneapolis wheat at 6.10 1/4. Chicago wheat, same month, 8 3/4 down. Hard red winter wheat down 8.5. Dease corn 1 1/4 lower at 4.15 1/4. The March contract 1.5 lower. Soybeans are down a nickel for November at 4.86 1/2. January 9.95 3/4 down 4 3/4 cents. Checking the farm calendar, the annual Canola Expo for the Northern Canola Growers Association is going to be part of Crop Outlook and the International Durum Forum in Minot, November 6th and 7th. They're going to have presentations on the biofuel industry, canola disease, and some strategies to deal with kochia. Again, that's the Northern Canola Growers Association Canola Expo in Minot. Have yourself a great day. You are listening to the Red River Farm Network.